You're listening to the Forefront Church Sermon Podcast. Forefront Church is a progressive Christian community more interested in asking good questions than having all the right answers. Thanks for listening.
Good day, everyone. Hello to our virtual community. My name is Reverend Vinita Rodman Jenkins. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm the co-pastor of teaching and community here at Forefront. Happy Resurrection Sunday to each and every one of you. Thank you, Lord. Our high holy day. And there's such a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I am convinced that it's the resurrection power of God. So I have a little something to share with you on this Resurrection Sunday. I have a secret. It's a deep, dark secret. Sometimes it actually makes people feel incredibly uncomfortable. Well, maybe it's not that much of a secret, and maybe it's not that deep, but one could argue it's definitely dark. I'm intrigued by and feel drawn to death work. I want to be able to support people who are dying and their loved ones. It's certainly connected to pastoral care and counseling. However, I want to go deeper in this area. So, for the past few months, I've been connected to a group of incredible people who fearlessly embrace death and dying. We trained together back in the fall to become death doulas. Now, we refer to each other as, wait for it, death besties. Seriously. So maybe some of you have heard of doulas, right, as it relates to birthing doulas, but not many people have heard of death doulas. Now, sometimes they're referred to as end-of-life doulas. Sometimes they're referred to as soul midwives. Death is arguably the one thing the whole world can agree will happen to everyone. Yet nobody really wants to talk about the end of life. If you try bringing up the subject, oftentimes there's the la, 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 la. I don't hear you, Vinita. I don't hear you. So, I get it. Facing one's mortality, particularly on Easter Sunday or any other day, may be difficult for us to confront. Jesus, however, preached about his time on earth being limited. Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one will be able to work. And in the midst of Jesus working and preaching and transforming lives, he talked to his friends about his departure being soon. However, they did not fully embrace all that he was attempting to share. In order for Jesus to experience resurrection and ultimately extend the resurrection to us, which is why we celebrate today, Jesus had to face death. During his ministry, there are many instances where Jesus predicted his death and shared with his disciples that he must go away, that he must suffer, and that all of that was appointed in Scripture. Let's look together at Luke 18, which says, starting from the 31st verse, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what Jesus was talking about. So Jesus shared that while they may not fully understand everything that he was sharing, he did inform them that ultimately, eventually, the Holy Spirit would come and guide them, would serve as an advocate for them, to help them have greater understanding. John 16, verses 12 through 16 reads, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me he will receive what he will make known to you. And that belongs to the Father. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Jesus went on to say, "In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me." As they heard the words of Jesus, it may have felt a bit disruptive. It may have felt like something unimaginable as they grappled with his words. They may have begun to consider what the loss of a friendship would mean. I mean, they had been so close. They had experienced so much together. They may have wondered and questioned who would impart wisdom to them, who would advocate for them, who would help change the trajectory of their lives, who would love them like Jesus. It seems that as his friends struggled to make sense of all that he shared, Jesus continued to confront what he himself knew to be true, that he would ultimately face suffering and death before he claimed victory over death. For us, as I mentioned earlier, facing death is not typically a hot topic. I mean, if we think about it, it's really hard for people to even say the word death. We say someone passed, someone made their transition, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it just shows how powerful a word death is. I remember attending the funeral of Mother Johnson from my home church, New Covenant Temple, right in Harlem. And she lived to be 100 years old. And I remember talking to my mom and considering her death. And I said, "Mom, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine you dying. If you die, Mom, I'm gonna go crazy." I told my mom, "I will go crazy." And I don't know, maybe I was a preteen at the time. And my mother, in her wisdom, said, "Vanita, you will not go crazy, because the Lord will keep you in perfect peace as you continue to keep your mind and your heart stayed on God." And she was right. My mom had taken care of her pre-needs, of her affairs, and when the end of her life came, a year and a half ago, God gave me the strength and the peace to be able to carry out her wishes, those affairs that she wanted in place at her funeral and thereafter. According to the National Institutes of Health, NIH, only 1 in 3 U.S. adults has an advance directive. It's a legal document where you can actually give instructions in advance of the time when you might need someone to follow your wishes. It helps ensure your preferences for various medical treatments. It helps ensure that they're followed if you become unable to make your own healthcare decisions. It seems that knowing what we know about life and death, that more people would have advance directives, that maybe it would ultimately be a hot topic, talking about who's going to be your power of attorney and what types of songs do you want sung at your celebration of life and who will be your healthcare proxy? Let's be clear. It's definitely a cringeworthy topic on Easter Sunday. However, the fact of the matter remains, we're not here to stay forever. Death doula, pioneer, and author Alua Arthur, someone who was definitely making her story, is the founder of Going With Grace, which is a death doula training and end-of-life planning organization. She spends a significant amount of time thinking about and teaching on end-of-life matters and how we approach death. As a death doula, or someone who supports dying people and their loved ones, Alua Arthur spends a lot of time thinking about the end of life. She's a strong proponent of looking at our brief, perfectly human time on this planet through the lens of our deaths. In her work, Alua seeks to answer the question, what must I do to be at peace with myself so that I may live presently and die gracefully? She truly believes that thinking about death helps us live a better life. Through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are offered the gift of eternal life. Now, typically, we think that this means we will live forever and ever with Jesus, and I believe that to be the case. But we also can think about eternal life as what it means for us to live with God right now. Alua said, I want to die with all my affairs in order, so my loved ones have nothing to worry about but their grief after I die. I want to die empty, devoid of all the skills, gifts, talent, and light that I carry in this body. Jesus poured so much into his life and ministry. He knew he had a limited time on earth. Even as a young person, even as a child, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. So that signals to me that these conversations do not have to be delayed until we get older or until we become in our 50s like some of us. But we can start having the conversations right now. On Friday night, we had a beautiful Good Friday service with Judson Memorial in the Village. And it was a powerful service where we heard Jesus' seven last words on the cross. And one of the words were, it is finished. Perhaps that it is finished that Jesus uttered on the cross was actually acknowledging that, as Alua said, he was now devoid of all the skills, the gifts, the talent, and light that he had carried in his earthly body. It is finished. Amen. If the power of the resurrection means that not only does Jesus live, but we live too, then what are we doing with the time that we have? What do you value? Where are you placing meaning? What are you prioritizing? What type of legacy do you want to leave behind? And what does it look like to live a life worth dying from? Alua says, when we focus on our productivity, we highlight what we have to do to feel worthy, rather than who we get to be, where worthiness is our birthright. We can make meaning out of the magic of the mundane. Give ourselves permission to be fully human. We can be fallible, messy. We can be here while we are here. Knowing that we will die one day does not have to render us immobile or depressed. It should actually drive us to live a beautiful and fulfilling life, especially after experiencing this Resurrection Sunday, knowing that we are in a new season of spring, knowing that this is a time of new life. Forefront, I'm here to tell you on this Resurrection Sunday 2024 that we are bursting at the seams with exciting possibilities as we move forward individually and collectively. I want to encourage us to just keep moving. The time is now to do the doggone thing, whatever your doggone thing is. Start that small group. Volunteer. Show up early. Our former community pastor said it best. Stop being lazy and make new friends. Come on, church. Let's resurrect out of our comfort zones. Let me tell you something. About 6 months or so ago, when the pastors and the leadership and preachers, we got together, as we typically do, our staff, and we said, what are we going to do? What's our sermon series going to be? We actually reached out to you all, which we typically do, to get your suggestions as well. And we were using a particular curriculum, and the curriculum, so we had some ideas, and the curriculum that we were using for Lent had a theme of unraveled. And it was interesting because what we had been talking about previously was the fact that a number of people are going through disruptions in their life. So this kind of kept coming up, right? Disruption. So then we had the nerve to say, let's change the unraveled, you know, unraveling theme, and let's just have the theme of disruption. Now, when we came up with that theme, we had no idea, none whatsoever, that we would be where we are right now. And let's be clear, we're still going through it. It's messy, it's uncomfortable. We're still having conversations with individuals to just allay concerns and allay fears. But I'm convinced and I'm encouraged that God continues to be with us because the Lord has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Today marks the end of our disruption series. Next week, we begin a new series called Our Bodies. But let's be clear, stuff is always happening. Disruption will continue in our lives, without a doubt. But it doesn't mean that we have to just become immobile. It doesn't mean that it has to stop progress. It doesn't mean that we can't move forward, because we can. John 16 and 33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Through the resurrection, Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus preached a message of love and gathered a community of individuals who were very unique. Some would call them a motley crew. And they were quite the cast of characters, but they loved each other, and they cared for each other, and they looked out for each other. And that's what we are hoping for from Forefront Church. Even in the midst of our messiness, healing is ours. Restoration is ours. Deliverance is ours. I implore us to just keep showing up. Just keep being present and watch the Holy Spirit continue to guide us and reveal to us what is to come. Jesus encouraged his followers with these words, "Truly, I tell all of you, emphatically, you'll cry and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will be deeply distressed, but your pain will turn into joy. We will grieve, but our grief will turn to joy." Individually, our bodies are mourning. Collectively, our church is still mourning. But I believe we can leave this place changed we can leave this place a different way. When the women came with their spices to the tomb on that first Resurrection Sunday morning, they were coming in and going to the tomb mourning. They left rejoicing because of the living Christ. I pray that this Resurrection Sunday, we would not fear death or transition or loss. I pray that we would be able to release whatever heavy burdens we continue to carry. I pray that we would leave this place rejoicing, celebrating, and honoring the life that Jesus has given us, the life to love and be loved. And it's so important for us to remember that thinking about death could help us live a better life through the power of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Now I have another response I'd like to share with you. He is risen in me. So when I say he is risen this next time, I want you to echo back, he is risen in me. He is risen.
He is risen in me.
And the people of God said, amen, amen. We want to be able to prepare our hearts and minds for communion at this time, for this time of sharing, for this time of celebration. If you're joining us online, we invite you to gather whatever you have to eat and to chew on during communion. Here in the house, we have little chalices with gluten-free wafers and alcohol-free juice so that everyone can receive. Everyone is invited to come to the table. We would ask that you would please hold on to your chalices so that we can all receive together. All are welcome to come with joy at this time.
Thanks for listening to the Forefront Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Forefront and how we're ushering in the next 500 years of Christianity, visit forefrontchurch.com.